Ethan Paquin rhetorically asks why we write and read, reads the famous words of someone he forgot, and invites us to spend our lives among the pilings of the Midnight City in this April 30th, 2008 edition of the Rooftop Poetry Club podcast. I'm Dennis Reed. Thanks for listening.
So thanks all for coming this afternoon. It's really a pleasure to introduce Ethan Paquin, who's a new friend of mine and a poet whose work I greatly admire. Ethan writes with the eye, painting scenes with words that make the insides ache. It's in his poem, Lumpen District, which appears on the Rooftop site if you hadn't had a chance to look at it yet. I just grabbed a few lines from this. We're huddling, twisting wreaths in snow. Black boot tops contrast with brown rye, with white space everywhere else. Not even tree green or sky blur. The hurt is all around. Here's our only organ. It's broken. I think that's so beautiful. Ethan Paquin's books of poetry are My Thieves, The Violence, which was runner-up for the Poetry Society of America's William Carlos Williams Award, Accumulus, and The Makeshift. His poetry has been anthologized in too many places to list, so you can read his bio on our website as well. Ethan is the founder and editor of the online literary journal Slope and the small poetry press Slope Editions. He is assistant professor of English and director of creative writing at Madai College. So please welcome Ethan.
Thanks for coming. I'm going to read some stuff from the recent book, My Thieves, and then I'm going to read some new stuff, very new, printed on yellow paper, for no particular reason. This is a poem called Simplicity, and it's actually written in columns. It was inspired by a poet named Robert Lax. Since you guys are analyzing me, I figured I would talk about the poems. The poem actually looks like this. It's like vertical poem. Sorry. One. Do you love me? Why do I ask? Can I trust it? Can I love you? Two. Do I happen you? If I do, why? Why do you answer? Can you read eyes? Three. Why do I read? Why do I write? What am I after? Why write about love? Four. Why write like this? What are the answers? Are the answers mine? What is mine, after all? This poem is called Yes, I Am an Artist. These were the famous words of someone I know whose name I forgot because he made nothing. These were the famous words of someone I know whose name I forgot because he made nothing. Made nothing know whose name I forgot because he made nothing. I because he made nothing. Someone I because he know these were the. I know whose name I forgot because he made nothing. These were the famous words of someone forgot whose name. These were the famous words of someone I know because I forgot. Famous words of I. These were the famous words of someone. This poem is called Tigers. The paint stethoscope revealed the tiger. Here. He was placed by a benign hand in gentle ochres. He was restored in a museum that's identical to other museums by a man who drank coffee for lunch and wants tapas with Johanna after work. Johanna's face reminds him how perfect the painting was once, drying on an easel. How perfect things are really clotheslines with day one clean shirts. And you see where this metaphor is going, especially if the meta scene occurreth in a Great Lakes city, where mum is the malevolent wind and thunder, mum like all great enemies, biding time in all the hidden pores. Toward a shoreline. Come a walk along the stones. Come a clear the doe from the highway, her teeth as small as children's chariots. Come a spend your life among the pilings. Come a far above our little city, come up, your fear as dulled as garnets. Come a mine this midnight's loudness. Come a hollow out this pumpkin, make eyes from mama's amulets. The doe, her eyes as dull as amulets. Midnight's little city. Astral. And this is a poem written in lyric form. I had songs in mind. I'm a very visually inspired poet. My first interest was painting, but I tried to create some poems that were kind of song-like. Astral. If you come over, I'll give to you what I can. I heard you're in LA for the protest and the post sit-in. I heard you're in LA, shirt not buttoned at the top. Got a yellow flower patch spiting the horizon line. Got a yellow shirt. Why aren't you here to try it on? Got some far-off friends, shirts and shoes and socks. Got some far-off friends. They're funny babies, pretty odd. Asters and rain. You won't believe how they blow. Asters and rain. You won't believe how they move. Got a rock collection and some photographs of smoke. Got a road on my mind. Why don't we walk it slow? That bunch of asters on my windowsill in bloom. Thine bunch of asters calling me. Hey, pick us soon. Asters and rain. You won't believe why they move. This is a prose poem, if you want to use that term, called You Just Keep Going. You just keep going steady like the sloop on Buzzard's Bay I never did see, though I spent decades of leaning over the railings to see it. Dropped quarters into the binoculars countless times. You just keep going. I stepped out of the shower thinking too much, as I usually do when stepping out of the shower, realizing my life will be perfectly symmetrical on September 16, 2005. I was born March 16, 1975, equals 30 years, therefore March is 3 months into the year, so subtract 3 from 12 for balance's sake, equals September. You just keep going, so let me keep going with my explanation. So she took this pear, and it was shaped like one half of her torso, one side of hip, and it was very pretty, but I'm too slow. You just keep going while the building keeps sagging, building I dreamt about one October back in grad school. Maybe incorporated into an old poem draft, likely never taken too seriously. You just keep going, and so does night. Slow wheels and soda can fizz. You just keep going, all the things your kids say you meant to record but forgot. You just keep going, but the seascape that made such a vast impression on you doesn't give anything to you that's able to be stored in a tiny box under the trundle. You just keep going to the farm atop the hill because you think maybe someday you'll bump into the adolescent boy and girl Homer painted in a temperance meeting. You just keep going and a-crying and a-feeling she won't touch you in the woods like she used to. Kinsman Creek, cold and beautiful, falls off the west. You just keep going, buoys, You just keep on, because the ships all need you. You just keep going, grasses, aimless and up and always, if only for the sun. You just keep on going, never stopping. When I say you just keep going, I think everyone out there need listen to the sound of your feet shuffling in beautiful leaves. Event of chains. 6, 5, 4 animals created. 3, 2, 1 musicality is proffered. 0, 1, 2 step up into the stage. 3, 4, 5 accept all your rewards. 6, 7, 8 the children ain't in bed. 9, 10, 11 satellites are putting. 10, 9, 8 mannequinite infants. 7, 6, 5 gardens fringed with bottles. 4, 3, 2 your face frissoned with drapery. 1, 0, 1 your face rendered in water. 2, 1, 0 an object reaches outward. 2, 1, 0 all language reaching outward and stunted by rules of music as vines by rules of column. Affix not yon vine to wood, affix to stone and to brick, and be known for the cover to brick provided. In any attempt to affix to stone, be you rendered to mere attempted memory, some blown and brown dustling to be shriveled and forgot. There's always poems written about people's grandmothers sitting on porches and rocking chairs. So I wanted to kind of to reappropriate that type of poem and do something different with it. This is called Grandmother Poem. She would not allow him to paint her. She would rather see her face as words, such a terrible symmetry she knew she'd got from God, or otherwise the zygote, from hysteria, an otherwise brainwave which she rode nightly into her gardens. And when there she was, when there she finally was, only then could she remember, remember the kiss, how he'd angled his, no, like that, no, like this. Her nose was in the way of his having her. She stares the flower down, purple universe returning nothing. Nothing comes back, save the anther-like trajectory known as her clunky, pretty face. Don't paint it, please, son. I can't bear it. Rocky Coast, Maine, 1975, March 1975. I'm from New Hampshire, so I write a lot about New England. My mind is always there, even at this moment. The author was born during this month, during this year, not far from this beach. This is what calm looks like. That it is warm on this earth at any time of year, ever, enrages so many. They will not fly balloons because the updraft of dusty sunlight from a forest floor interferes with the iodes of their dresses. Ballasted by the greens and burgundies of deep woods, made out of the sprinklings of a celestial wreck. The author saw the bay this morning, deciding to write about water. In a curtain's dumb yellow, he saw what he fancied to be an illusion, the arrival of Orpheus, and then decided he didn't write about things like that. Things like breakers and fog banks intrigued him, so he wrote about breakers and fog banks. And he wrote in actuality about Homer's breakers, the ones Homer had seen in 1898 at Prout's Neck, the fog banks Homer had seen shrouding vessels off the coast of Tynemouth, England. The ones he himself had seen lacked all drama, and into them no drama could be built. It is hard to dramatize water and shorelines when neon signs behind you seek to murder you with commerce. Hard to be authentic when the source of is no longer. Yes, friends, hard to convince anyone of any vision, for any length of time, for all the visions are here. Everything of Ulro, all gone, Vegas, and Manhattan. The writer's apologia is to look at the waste of the progressive present and kill it through the renewal of the art of the past, when death was as major as a fallen log high on an Adirondack dome. Soon, your favorite tidal marsh will make its procession from out the fog banks. Its band of ochre will loll on the horizon, and you'll nestle in the bilge in your parka. The vessel will reeve through the block of dense air, dense gray, don't you fear. I won't soon forget the red clay of Cape Tormentine, how your eyes leapt at it. I won't forget those little marlin spikes, easing the heft of the pull of my fears. We're off soundings, but we'll track southwest toward any lighthouse that will help. It's all right, babe. We're going back to harbor after the long trajectory of travel. Watercolor. After all the leaves relinquish like dropped chaplets, after their hues are determined to be reparative, after sunset's nephelinia coats all the seaboard, after the minims of a trolley's wheels pass away, after silence, after all these proceedings becoming dark, heavy grograin of the distant farm fields, dark three-part breath of the evening dawning, dark lunettes of horizon-lit prows near a lighthouse, dark sea in its perpetual churn, dark hum of air, dark universe in perpetual turn, dark mind adrift. Then I will turn to turn in for the night as usual. Then I will drift home with both hands a pocket. Then I will listen to the nearby authentic water. Then I will, full and content as the empty harbor. And as I said, here's a couple of brand new pieces. This is called Everything Will Go. There was a foundling bird she tried to nurse back, but hey, the end is like the stars. On coming and on rushing, rushing swift, up twirling in our faces. The bird, it made it for a few days, and then it didn't, wasn't around, and was gone. Eventual loss will come like stars, and maybe it will segue into a daybreak. Field where old remnants go under earth forever, go missing, dead evidence. I loved that bird, didn't know it too long, but knew that bird truly, the way it meant, and the way it died. Relinquished. I was a possession, abandoned. Restless leaves, do your thing. The tiny mountain heaves in a ring-like pattern. Aperture is a word I like, and a word I disavow, for I give up language. I lived a life of verbs, and the garden is high, and my feet scratched by the experiences. Sky, so high and so deadly blue, you possess us under your cup. Metaphor, aperture, sayonara, poem. And, like the logging road upon which I drank Redbird's song, lullabies, pink depths, abandoned by God or parcels of earth, abandoned by God in a circular way. Oh, how I was, I wish I could come ball up here and become flat, like the words without ink. Summer Bridge. When they crossed, it was autumnal. It was brown, is what is was. It was it, the world, all the outside, is what it was. Clouds and water known as rain. He smiled, never. She held the rail. They saw the rapids, the bay, the sun. Walking in to a place to walk into. They did that. a son came. Process. Yes, I woke up today and my body smells, as usual, like it smells at dawn. Candle wick, varietal wine or mulch, seasonal highway pothole. That I pee on the shit streak in the toilet so as to erase it is no different than any art of any kind. Then your empty look toward me as you reappraise what I meant. Here is the word love, erase the L and replace with M, leaving move. The verb meaning boats and oceans traversed. Meaning people on a far-off shore waiting and wondering, hoping for return and watching the waves or left counting the shells. Yes, I looked in the mirror and saw myself running on the beach, that thin strip between beginning and end. I saw you under a palm tree with me. I saw your hair. And I wanted to make myself not see any of this decrepitude. Boat bobbing and floating. My, oh my, little boat bobbing and floating till erased by the science of distance. What is comparable? What is comparable to an orange, in that the qualities of the orange are the qualities of the comparable, in that the qualities of your handing me the orange, placing it in my palm beset with the stony labor of gardening, of prying stone and concrete from earth in order to place a seedlet in the dirt, are the qualities of the love that moved you to walk toward me, smiling, and grant me a fruit. In that the qualities of tilled earth, some of which on my hand are the cold qualities of the hard, pocked shell of the orange. What is comparable to your dress, the one you stole from the belly of the cloud over the bay, or was it the cape? What is ever comparable to the colors we associate with lovers now moved somewhere better, leaving us in our pastures with fences amended by vine and moss, fields in vegetable state and in servitude to the iron streaks of passing rains above? What is comparable, I ask, and I ask whosoever shall listen. And I don't merely utter, I grab your arm as you attempt to pass on your way to a village, to a farm stand, to a nearby plot within which to lay and admire the sky and a lover's eyes. I assail you in a manner and plead. I ask, what is comparable? Having no idea the answer or yours, but filled in my stomach with shards and scraps, causing discomfort. You look at me with a funny look. A funny look like a simile is like a clever riddle at which the reader stops and puzzles, seeking clarity, not mystery. I ask you, what is comparable to the rapids in which our lovers swam naked once? What is comparable to the dust laden in the word once? What is comparable to our shoes and our travels? What is comparable to our late-night stares and the screaming inside behind our headaches? What is comparable to I can't leave her behind, in that she is at point X and I at point Y? What is comparable to the ships that are sick from the sea, their masts pointing upward, and the rigging cluttering the gray scene so beautifully, and the travel to a far-off point so beautiful? What is comparable to the smell of pine bursting into life atop a summit upon which my beloved once kissed me, upon which I returned alone years later and saw the deep forested valleys below and wanted to know how to get there? What, I ask, is comparable so that I may seek it? What, I ask, is comparable so that I may have it? What, I ask, is comparable so that I may adore it? And through language idolize it, and obsess upon it, the way I am expressing to you, in the middle of this dusty road, out in the middle of nowhere, my love of that orange, and my love of that woman who threw it at me, who laughs that I think of it, and of all of this. And this is the last poem. This is called Dear Friends. Dear friend, I am in a special state of minimalism. Cigarettes measure the distance between me and a state of comfort. The papers are in order, and the sidewalks are swept. The black-on-black painting that is my stare, it hangs in a windswept gallery, surrounded by air and blank walls. Dear art, I have failed you. I am a wallower, in love with the contrasts and not the colors. I am British, in that I am a field, or a heath, a kind of place in which all the plays were set or took place. Dear, dearest you, you are everywhere and gray. That is to say, you are a message blotted by rain. Thank you very much.
Rooftop Poetry Club is a service of E.H. Butler Library at Buffalo State College. Our website is www.buffalostate.edu/library/rooftop. Go there to see what's coming up on our calendar, to find info about joining, to read member bios, and to connect to our excruciatingly thorough archive of past projects and photos. Thanks to our performers, to Lisa Forrest, and to Buffalo State's instructional resources for technical assistance. And thanks again to you for listening. We'll see you next time up on the roof.